So this morning, it is really, it's such a privilege to have a conversation with you about God's Word, and for us just to really explore together the Scriptures. And we've had, I think, a really great time where we've been looking at the Word, and I don't know about you, but for me, something has come alive as I've spent time in this. Really, honestly, I have historically been someone who struggles to read the Word. It's always, you know, it's really, as a young boy, I struggled to read a bit. I was able to study science and that kind of thing, and science is easy, but when it comes to poetry and all these other things, and I get confused. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And I really just as I've been reading lately, I've just fallen in love with the Word. And I hope that you have. And this morning, I would trust even again that you would fall more in love with the Word, because I'm going to do something a little different. As I am known to be one who does things differently, and I'm going to be stretching myself quite a bit here, because I'm actually going to do a expository type preach. Mm-hmm. We're going to look together, and hopefully in this, it's going to spark something in you to read the Bible a little bit differently, how you read the Bible and how you spend time in the Word. And we're going to look at something that we always say to people when they get saved: go read the Psalms. Isn't it, Doug? What should I read when I get saved? Well, go read the Gospels and go read the Psalms. And I'm going to look at the Psalms. And we might spend, Dan's also got something brewing on the shortest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119. Keep you all morning. That psalm is incredible. And we glance over it because it's 170-odd verses, 150-odd verses, but there's so much in that psalm that relates to everything we've been doing. And so in this journey of looking at the Word and falling in love with the Word, I've been working through the Bible from the beginning of the year, I told you, and I'm actually currently in Psalms. But when I hit my studies a couple of weeks ago, obviously Psalm 1 stood out to me. And let's put it up on the board there, Peace Hiker. And we're going to start reading it together. And so why don't you read with me? 1, 2, 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law. Let's read together, day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and his leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the wicked of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's carry on. I want us to carry on reading chapter 2. Did I give you that one? Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for these two chapters. And as we work through them together this morning, just in the short time that we have, let them just cause us to see you in a new and incredible way and to fall more in love with your word and to fall more in love with you. Thank you, Jesus, that these scriptures teach us. They not just inform us, but they teach us. They transform us. And that this morning we would be transformed as we understand what it is you're saying here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, the introduction to the book of Psalms. The two pillars that introduce us into the entire liturgy of encouragement, of praises, of depressive moments, of instruction, whatever it might be. But these are the two, found almost the entranceway into the book of Psalms. Psalm 2 was actually written before Psalm 1. It was written actually, and it's actually thought that David is the author of Psalm 2, and it is not known who's the author of Psalm 1. And so it was probably compiled a lot later as they were bringing the books together, but it's a beautiful introduction into the book of Psalms because it actually sets the platform for us to be those who worship the Lord. It looks at us, and it actually talks about the blessed life. And so you might, however you might want to title this, the blessed life, actually according to Psalms 1 and Psalm 2. It's, you know, I was just, if you had to come into my property, some of you visited my house, and if you walk down my driveway, you're welcomed by this beautiful garden. I love my garden. I think it's beautiful. And you're welcomed by these proteas that are about to flower. You're welcomed by the red hot pokers. They're no longer flowering now. The watsonias will be flowering soon. But as you walk down my driveway, there's this wonder and there's this anticipation for more. It's this beautiful entryway, and you're expecting of something more to come. And that's pretty much how the Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are. They're this doorway, this gateway to something much more encouraging and exciting. I just had this picture of these two pillars going into this temple where you see the outside and you think, oh, that's a pretty cool building. And as you walk in, suddenly there's gold and silver. And just, can you picture that, like going into those temples? And that's really what Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, if you look at it graphically, I'd like to put pictures to things. So these two psalms are not just randomly placed. They answer two essential questions. Firstly, how should God's people live? And who is God's king? And it's so beautiful that they actually point to Jesus. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 point to Jesus. So let's put Psalm 1 up there firstly, and let's look at that. Because it firstly introduces us to an incredibly, it says, blessed is the one. And we all want to be blessed, amen. We want the blessed life. And the blessed, hey. Come get your blessing. But you know, the Bible is very clever in that the blessing that we in the world think blessing is, we always think blessing is sort of associated with finances, with wealth, with prestige, with knowledge, with all these things. But the blessed life of the Lord is something very different. Do you agree? How many of you could think of what it means to be blessed in the Lord? Full of Him. Walking and doing life every moment. It's, you know, blessed. It's a beautiful expression that the blessed life is not just about knowing Him. But these two verses, these two chapters give us a very clear indication of how we get that blessed life. And very basically, the first one is by spending time in the Word. And the second one is taking refuge in God, taking refuge in Jesus. And I'll show you that through the first verse and obviously the last verse of chapter 2. And that's how we get that. So blessed is the one. And the author starts with, blessed, and he starts with this with like a negative. I can't think of the grammatical when you, it's like a double negative. Like you actually start with saying blessed, like you want something that is good, but it don't be like this. Okay, and let's have a look at it. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So when I look at that, and when you read scripture, do it in a way that, like, let's just take it like this. I see a progression. Can you see the progression? Walk, stand, sit. Wicked, sinner, mocker. Do you see that progression? And so for me, when I look at this, there's this progression we call it the drift. From, you know, when I think of someone who walks with the wicked, it's like I'll possibly brush shoulders with someone, and wicked talks about some people that are not inherently good, that are inherently bad. And then it regresses to something where I might stand, linger a bit longer, and be entertain conversations and nod my head. Because walking is like I heard something and I just, what? But then standing is I'm entertaining. Then it says seated, and now I'm in the council. He says, blessed is the man who does not do this. Don't do this. And how do we not do it? Because it's very key that he's trying to encourage us. We want a fullness of life. We want everything in the Lord. How do we not do this? Well, let's go on. How do we not do this? But there's don't say but. But there's the answer. But. And the only way we cannot do this is actually by delighting ourselves in the scriptures. And the law there is not just the Ten Commandments. It actually was the word for the Torah at that time. But it's actually all scripture. It refers to all the scripture. So, but whose delight is in all scripture of the Lord? And who meditates on this Lord day and night? And there we see this beautiful sort of picture where if we don't want to be that one who walks in the way of the wicked. Sorry, what did I say? Walks in the way of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seats of mockers. If we spend time delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on it, he's going to tell us just now what we will look like, actually. And he starts to paint this picture of two different types of people, the one who is the wicked and then the one who meditates. So let's just look at this scripture, this verse here. But his delight. So I realize that delight is like you can't do delight. It's not something you can actually do. It just happens. Like when you do it, that happens. So if many of us, you know, I enjoy running when I run. When I can run again, it's like, it's soon. You can see I'm walking much better. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like 95% there. The wound is getting much smaller. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. When I do it, I find delight in it. I find enjoyment. And I love this scripture as well. I didn't give it to Harker, but I was just reminded of the scripture. It says, your words were found and I ate them. It's Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found and I ate them. I ate them and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Like when we meditate on the Lord's word and then, no, don't take it off, leave it up there. Verse 2. You leave me hanging. So when we delight ourselves, and like I said, that's not something we do. It happens when we do it. So delight ourselves. What's happening, Ken? What's happening? I need the scripture. Do you see this? Like, I'm actually now becoming so dependent. There we go. When your word, no, Psalm. Put Psalm back on. No, you're running ahead of me here. Put back on Psalm about meditating on the word day and night. There we go. But who's delight? You see how by meditating on the Lord day and night, and that word meditate, I think I mentioned it a while, because it actually talks about a dove cooing. Sorry, you know, that's me when doves cooing. They're in the roof here, the pigeons. But it's a dove cooing. That's what the word refers to. It's this dove cooing. Actually, also talks about a bear or a wild beast murmuring when it eats its food. The Bible's very descriptive, eh? And so you can imagine, have you seen lions feed? Barry, you'll admit, man, there's this, and it's just growling, and as they're eating. And it's basically like, as the feeding goes on, there's this murmuring, this growling happens. And it's the same, actually, talking about when we read the scripture, that that's what the word meditating means, is that as we spend time, we linger there, we actually repeat those scriptures over and over and over. It's not just read it once and move on. Just to read over and to read over again. I'm loving reading, and actually I'm reading and having the audiobook at the same time. I'm trying to look for doubling. If I doubling at the same time, what you see, what you hear, and I can't exactly do it. So, but definitely what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, and actually another way is what you write as you write it down. That should be the third way. But I'm reading it over, and even, you know, it's just that constant spending time, and it's not just where, it's not just in the morning, 5 o'clock when I've woken up for coffee time. It's day and night. Day and night, when I delight on His word, day and night. It's beautiful. I realize I say that word a lot. I listened to one of my preachers the other day. Beautiful, it comes out so much. There's a longing. The heart is by, you know, there's a longing to spend time in the word that needs to develop in us. You know, our what we think is shaped by what we hear and what we open ourselves. I think we've spoken about that a lot. What we give ourselves to shapes us. And so we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, which comes through the word. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've said all those scriptures over the last while. So I've realized what I give myself to, and if I give myself to scripture, my heart becomes full and I'm being shaped by the scripture. I don't want to be shaped by Netflix. I don't want to be shaped by YouTube. As much as I enjoy watching stuff on YouTube, I don't want to be shaped by that. I want to be shaped by scripture. Do you want to be shaped by scripture? So what are the voices? Your delight is in the law of the Lord. We see that quite a few times in scripture about the delight being in the law of the Lord, because through scripture we come to know God. Like I said, the Bible's not just a rule book. It's not just information. It's revelation. And actually, you know why it speaks about this in the first two verses is because the rest of the Psalms is about praise. It's about, and so how can you praise unless you've had revelation? And how do you get revelation? By understanding and reading the Word of God and meditating on it. And so when you praise and when you read the rest of the Psalms, make sure you've done it out of a place of revelation and enjoying the Lord. And so every scripture here, I mean, as we go along, it points towards Jesus. Let's go to the next verse. But here's, okay, so now it's talking about that person who has meditated on the word, taken delight in meditating on the word day and night. And now it describes how that person is. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. Now what I see, it's not a, he's not like a, why does he use a tree? And it's a tree planted. It's not a random tree that just happens to grow wild. It's a tree planted. It speaks of purpose. It speaks of something. And it also speaks of where he's planted. Not just randomly in a field where by chance if it rains, he'll get watered. No, his source is the river. His source is the river and it's planted. And the reason a tree is used is because a tree, you can't stand and watch it grow. Have you tried? The only time you notice a tree grows is when you haven't seen it for a long time and you come back and you're, oh, no ways. Like, I'm not talking about flowers here. Eh? I'm talking about a tree. I've got an avo tree, sorry. And some of you were with me when I planted it. I think Wilco saw that tree when I planted it. And if you look at it now, it's probably about 3 meters high. And that's in a space of 2 years. Okay, that tree has grown. I've planted it in a place where it's getting lots of, the stream is my JoJo tank right behind it. And it gets good watering. It gets good nourishment. And when it's right, when the season's right, that avo tree is going to yield. I can't wait because I love avos. But when I see that, I see it's the tree that's planted. And are we like that person? And that's what happens when we meditate on the word. We become like that tree planted by the water, our source. We nourish the whole time. Can you see our scripture starts to come alive as we dig into it? I'm going, oh man, I want to be that person. Because just now it's going to tell me how I shouldn't be. It's going to talk about the wicked person. So it yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. So what that tells me though is that dry times are going to happen. That there are going to be those moments, but it says whatever, that tree's always going to be healthy because it's planted in the source. And it's not about the fruit necessarily, it's about the root. You can't do anything about fruit. Fruit happens, but what you can do is about your root. That's something you you can make sure that where you planted. And so for many of us, where are we planted? Have we got deep roots into a community of faith that believes and has values that glorify Jesus? Or are we like some of these trees where the roots are very broad and wide, and when the winds come, those trees stop. We saw those trees that were blown over recently. Their leaves were very broad and very wide. It's called an adventitious root system. Or are we a tap root system? Tap meaning tapping down. It's like this thick, solid root that goes down like a carrot. It's like that solid, thick root that goes down. I tell you what, if we need to develop tap roots that go into the water and go and drink and are sustained, because when we are sustained like that, the fruit will develop. It's making sense. The word produces a rooted life. It's slow, it's steady, but it grows. And I think sometimes we get so frustrated that we don't grow overnight. And I think for many of us, and then we give up, right? How many of us, like, we haven't seen the changes in my husband's life or my wife's life, and we want to give up, or those people, or that, you know, we haven't seen the changes. That's something I have had to learn as being a church leader, and I'll be vulnerable with you, because I'm often wanting to see change in people and individuals quicker than what is happening, and I want to see it more than they want to see it. And so the tendency is for us to get frustrated with one another, and especially in leadership, because we don't see the changes happen as quickly as we want to see it. I mean, sometimes changes take a while. But are we planted? Make sure that we planted. I mean, there's always the fertilizer. There's always the pruning that happens in order that thing is constant. So we need to be, sometimes guys say, Chad, it feels like you're always saying the same thing over and over again. But that's just the pruning, because I saw a leaf going off and I just want to cut it, because this is where it wants to go. This is where the Lord wants it to go. So our source of strength is not our circumstances. It's our continual nourishment from Him, His Word, that's feeding our souls. It's feeding us. The Word, are we meditating? Fruit doesn't have to be forced. Then let's look at the second person the Bible talks. Not so the wicked, because they are like chaff that the wind blows away. It's interesting. Who knows what chaff is? What's chaff, Heike? The outside of the seed, yeah. Okay, so when seed is harvested, it's got a kernel. And in order to get to the nourishing part of the seed, you let it dry out. And then historically what they would do is they would throw it up into the air. The wind would blow away the chaff because it was a lot lighter than the seed itself. The seed would fall and the chaff would blow away and would be discarded. And that's what it's talking about, the wicked. It says they're blowing away like chaff. They're not, there's no substance to them. They're just blown away. And so this is the contrast. He says, rather we who are blessed, if we want the blessed life, if we want to be those people that are blessed, we need to be like those that are rooted by a stream of living water. And I think it's Jeremiah as well speaks about the tree that's planted by the stream, by the river of life. It's a beautiful analogy there. And so let us not be like the wicked person who's just blown away, tossed by the wind and blown here and there. I mean, even the Bible speaks about let's not be like those who are tossed around by the doctrines that just come and go. But let's be rooted. Let our roots grow deep. And so it's encouraging us. It's giving us a revelation of what happens when we spend time in the Word again. Let's carry on. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Let's carry on. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And so there again, we get a reminder that the Lord's watching. He knows. You know, truth changes us. It's not, God, you know, God is watching. He's watching His people. He loves us. And He's intent on putting us on a path that brings us into a place of fullness and where we fall in love with Him. And then from there, how are we doing for time? We go into the second chapter, which widens the picture a little bit. No longer is it about the individual, but it's about the nations. And I don't want to go too much into it, but it talks about a world who rebels against God's authority. People who want freedom without God. It's we're surrounded by that. But you know what I love about that? The psalmist says, He who sits in the heavens laughs. God's not threatened, eh? Let's put that up there. I think that's the third verse. It says, the king, yeah, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs. He is not threatened by man. He's not threatened. And it's almost, and then he carries on. He says, I have set my king on Zion. He carries on. And basically what he's doing here, he's laying the platform for Jesus. And actually, this portion of Scripture, it's actually believed that this was actually used, a lot of the wording in the context of here was used when a king was, what's the word? Coronated. Yeah, in a coronation. So this was the Scripture that was really used about, but we know, and if we look at this, that there's no, not one of us is truly righteous. Not one of us is truly deserving, but it talks of one who is. He says, the anointed one. Where's that? He points to the anointed one. Oh, I'm going blank now. And that anointed one that he talks of in that chapter 2 is his son. Let's go back a few verses. Okay. There we go. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. The word there, anointed, actually is Messiah. And they already, before, like it's a prophetic picture of like that the, yes, the world will rule against, but it's and they will band together. But the Lord's scoffing at it. He said, my anointed one, like he's come to bring freedom. He's come to set us free. And the invitation is there that we would kiss the Son, that we would be known as his begotten. And it's all language used of Jesus, but the invitation is, and the final verse in that chapter 2, I'm going to jump to that final verse, is blessed are all who take refuge in him. And so there's this beautiful invitation that a blessed life starts off by allowing the law to become written in our hearts, and that's the whole Scripture, by meditating on Scripture day and night. And blessed are not some, but all who take refuge in him. And so we see there, as these two chapters form the pillar and the framework for the rest of the Psalms, that when we fall in love with God's word, and when we fall in love with God's king, we will always be pointed towards Jesus. That's what Scripture does the whole time. And I just really, I really love that, that the more we love Jesus, the more we know him, the more we hunger for his word. And so you, even in that, if you are struggling with like just, I don't have a love for the word, you can't have a love for Jesus and not a love for his word. And I've realized that the more you discipline yourself to do this, the more you will fall in love with it. It's like anything, the more we do it, the more we want to do it. It's like anything in life. The more we enjoy, the more we do it, the more we enjoy it, the fitter we get. And some of us are quite unfit because we're quite happy with just reading a couple of verses in the morning here and a couple of verses in the morning there. And we're relatively unfit. But the challenge in this, for me, in this scripture is that if we want to have a deeper revelation and if we want to be able to sing those psalms, the rest of the psalms, we need to have a deeper revelation of Jesus. And it comes by reading his word. And spending time in his word, letting it shape us, and that we can put our trust in him. Put that last two verses up again there. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up. That's quite hectic. His wrath can flare up in a moment. And there's it's one of those moments when you think, your Lord, what does that mean? But I love the fact that he's actually giving us an opportunity, this invitation to choose him. And this is the hard thing, is because if we reject God, he may reject us. And the word is very true that his anger will be burned against us. And so we have this responsibility or this real need that we need to be pushing into him and allowing his word to be established in our hearts. And so in that, in finding a place in Him, in finding a rest in His Word and in knowing His kingdom, we grow. And the fruit is produced. We become that safe place. And yes, as much as that tree talks and is an example for us, and that's who we could become, we'll never fully attain it, but Jesus will. And Jesus has. And Jesus has. So, my prayer for us as a people is that we would really, and it has been, I really hope that something in your hearts has been triggered over the last few weeks to really just dig into the Word. And don't cherry pick. You know, don't choose the scriptures that suit you. And I must be honest, I was thinking the other day, I'd love for us to do a session about taking scripture out of context. I think it would be really helpful, because I think so often we've learned bad habits. And I've been just so encouraged over the last while as I've just allowed the Word to wash over me, as I've spent time. And again, I do in one regard thank the Lord for maybe afflicting me with my inability to be too mobile, because it's forced me to sit and spend time studying and reading and researching and looking at the things. And I'm going, man, there's so much we're missing out on. So much we're missing. We always struggle with things in life, and we, you know, I think a lot of our work as elders would be diminished if we just were a people who read scripture and believed it. Really. And applied it to our lives and allowed it to take root in our hearts. And so I know, I'm looking around the room, and I know many of us are going, man, I love the Word, but there are many of us that I believe that really are not at this place where we meditate day or night. And I know, yeah, but I work. How much, no, hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying here, kind of thing. Because there is, I mean, we do have lives, but I think if we just come into church on a Sunday and we're waiting, and this is the only time you hear the Bible being read, there's a problem. If this is the only moment where you hear any scripture being read on a Sunday, maybe a Wednesday. And that's why even part of our practice now, that I'm saying, can we read more of scripture on a Sunday, like chunks of scripture? Rather, let's get rid of all the illustrations maybe and all the stories, but just read scripture. Just read scripture, you know, like that it would grip our hearts. That as we meditate, as we chew on it, as we regurgitate. I mean, I love the analogies of a dove cooing. It's like, for some of us, that could be quite an irritating analogy, because that dove is just driving it. But that's really what it is. It's just that murmuring of reading, repetitive, reading scripture. Don't just try and get through it as quickly as you can. But take time. If you just spend one morning on one scripture, one chapter, and you go over it, you read it three or four times and say, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through the scripture? And then, what are you trying to speak to me about? What can I learn out of this? This morning wasn't taking a topic necessarily. I wanted to just pull apart scripture. But can you see how the topic came out? Can you see how just like suddenly, now we suddenly see it. There's a depth, there's a richness to what it means to be one who spends time in the Lord's Word. And so that is my encouragement to you, church. Be a people who are lovers of the Word. Be a people who meditate day and night. Take shelter in the knowledge that Jesus is revealing Himself, so that when you come and stand here and you worship or you sing praise, that you're not just doing it because we've invited you to come to the front and to sing, but because you have a deep revelation of what He's done for you. A deep revelation that just, man, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that even like the thing about marriages, I'm just wanting to tie it in with that, is how, you know, you go and read the scriptures about how we should be as husbands and wives with one another. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. What does it mean, husband, to love your wife? Wives, submit and serve to your husbands. What does that mean? And if you got to sit, you can't just read it and go, oh, that's what scripture says. You got to say, God, that is what your scripture says. Can you show me by your spirit, what does that mean? What does it mean to love my wife like Christ loved the church? We'll start thinking, how did Christ love the church? He laid His life down for her. He served her. He didn't demand of her. And as you do that, it transforms you. And then you've got to put it into practice. You've got to apply it. Make sure that it isn't just something like I'm just you know, thinking of that. Don't be just like that man who reads a scripture, walks away, and forgot about what he's read. Don't be just hearers of the word, but become doers of the word. And I hope in that we would become we'd become that tree, deeply planted by the stream, the river of life, growing, being rich, bearing fruit that others would come and pick from, others would come and sit under our shade. And that in those hard times, in those tough times, and we face them, I mean, I know there's a couple of you facing some really tough circumstances and situations now, but that you would rejoice in Jesus, knowing that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Unchanging. Never, ever different. He is the same. Amen. 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 So, I hope that helped you guys. Maybe it stirs something in your hearts to preach. To preach. Yeah, maybe to preach too. Come on. And even like over the next while, I know Dan's, I was quite excited about what Dan's going to share about. He's got something on his heart to share about. Also in the Psalms, but let us become those people. Amen. Do you want to say anything? Can we pray? What? So, yeah, I'm going to pray and close. But we actually, before we, yeah, Dan will talk about what's going to happen next. But Lord, I want to thank you just for an opportunity for us to tuck into Scripture, and thank you that even though we might not be deep, great theologians or those that understand, but thank you that just in the simplest way, you can speak to us through your word. And so for every person sitting here, Lord God, I pray that as they go home into this week, that they would become a people that fall in love with your word, that we would all become people who just enjoy reading Scripture. We would find life, we would find healing, we would find sustenance, we would find revelation, and we would be transformed in it as we read your word, Lord God. That we would be blessed in all that we do. We would be that blessed person. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and just teach us your ways, Lord. Thank you that you are teaching us your ways. Continue to do that, Jesus. And we would not be slow. Like, I know that the tree seems like it's a slow learner, a slow grower. But even for some of us, that we would not be so slow, that you would put the fertilizer on and we would grow and we would walk more and more into the things that you have for us. We really bless your name, Jesus, and thank you. Amen.